All right, today's the 20th, ain't it?
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord on this July the 20th, Lord's Day, Wednesday morning. Amen? Wednesday afternoon. I'll get it right here in a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
We're starting our first midweek service, and we're excited about taking in a little bit more ground. And we are just really trying to be a blessing, not just online, but also to the Lord. And just give opportunity for the Lord to do His work, His great work. Jesus said He was doing a work. He said, "I come to do a work." And He told His mother, "I must be about my Father's business." And that's what we want to do. We want to be about our Father's business.
Yes.
And as a little church, we're just trying to be all we can be. For the time we've got to be, I don't believe we've got as much time as a lot of people are thinking. I think the time is coming when we're not going to be able to work. Jesus said, "There's not 12 hours in a day, for the night cometh, no man can work." And I know time is short. Paul said, "Awake, thou that sleepest." And I believe we need to be redeeming the times. I believe the days are evil. I believe we need to be seeing the signs that are everywhere. I don't think there's going to be forever a church to come in and hear the songs of Zion and hear the Word of God and feel the presence of God. We're thankful for last Sunday we had a family show up, and I could tell they were in the presence of God. I saw tears on their cheeks. But we're just going to get started tonight. Brother Mark's going to lead the singing. And we probably got about 10 special songs lined up after that. We'll just have to wait and see. But enjoy this service tonight. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
All right, we'll do page number 63 in the blue book. "This world is not my home."
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Verse 1, 2, and 4. "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere on the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My Savior pardoned me from guilt and shame, I know. I'll trust His saving grace while traveling here below. And I know He'll welcome me in heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at saints in glory land are shouting victory.
Yeah,
I want to join their band and live eternally. I hear the sweetest praise from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore."
Amen.
Joanne's not feeling good. She said pray for her tonight. And Sarah has a prayer request. I forgot the man's name. Ronnie, I think.
Or Lindsay.
Okay.
That's Patrick's dad.
Yeah,
Patrick's dad. He's back in ICU.
Still having blockage with his intestine?
I don't have any idea. She didn't say on here. Yeah. She's at work.
Okay.
But she just told me to well, we have prayer tonight, to be sure and pray for him.
Brother Lindsay.
And yes, and Joanne also needs prayer tonight.
All right.
And Sister Kay.
All right.
All right, page 92.
Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus.
And amen.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his first blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He brought me to victory beneath the quenching flood. Blind to see, and then a cry to Jesus, coming to my broken spirit, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He crushed me to victory beneath the quenching flood. I heard about a mansion he had built for me in glory, and I heard about the beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the overdeckers roaring. Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He punched me to be free beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen.
All right, Brother Eddie.
All right, I'm going to have a word of prayer. For Joanne, for Ronnie Lindsay, for Sister Kay, and I don't know, probably many others out there.
Yeah.
But I thank God for prayer.
Yeah.
This week, I was struggling to read my Bible, struggling to pray. Went in the bedroom, shut the door, still struggling. And right about the end of my prayer, I just felt the Spirit of God raise my hands to heaven and, for lack of a better word, just prayed all over again. But Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Oh, for the great mercy, Lord, that's presented to us, Lord, by humble prayer. We thank you, Lord. Lord, for the great love of God that's so abundantly bestowed upon us through your Son, Jesus, Lord, that we could be accepted, Lord, into the Beloved. Lord, that we could be in the family of God, like Brother Ed shouted just a minute ago, have a mansion in heaven, Lord, streets of gold, angels singing, Lord, take a tour of heaven, not have to leave, but spend eternity there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for that blessing, Lord. Father, we want to lift some people up to you, Father. We want to pray on behalf of Sister Joanne, Lord. she's not feeling good, Lord. And we know, Lord, your word says you're touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Well, we know you said, I'll not leave you comfortless. You said, I'll come to you in John 14:18. I pray you'd visit Sister Joanne, Lord, and not only, Lord, help her to feel better, but Lord, encourage her and bless her, Lord, with your presence. We pray, Lord, for Sister Kay, Lord. Lord, she's not doing well neither, Lord. We put her also, Lord, in your tender care, Lord. You're the good shepherd, Lord, that loves your sheep. Lord, you're the one that calls us by name. And I pray you'd visit Sister Kay tonight, Lord, and just touch her brow like you did Peter's mother-in-law, Lord. And may she get better, Lord. May she know, Lord, that like that woman with issue of blood, that she's been touched. I pray, Lord, your blessings upon Sister Kay. Father, we want to pray for Brother Ronnie Lindsay tonight. Brother Patrick's father, Lord. Lord, he's back in a hospital, Lord. Lord, we don't like visiting a hospital, Lord, even if it's someone else, but much less, Lord, ourselves, to be in the hospital, Father. I pray for Brother Ronnie, Lord. I pray, Lord, the great physician from heaven would go, Lord, to that hospital room. And Lord, we know doctors mean well, Lord. It's just they charge so much. When they do anything, Lord, all you do it for free. And you do it well. And I pray you'd go and minister, Lord, to the hurt of Brother Ronnie. I pray, Lord, you'd touch him, Lord. And I pray, God, Lord, you'd raise him up. May he shout a little bit there at the hospital. May they take note he'd been with Jesus. Lord, bless this service tonight, Lord. We're just few in number, Lord, but it makes it more precious, Father, when few show up, Lord. We know others would love to be here tonight. They're working, Lord. We pray you'll send portions their way and blessings their way. And Lord, may this little church continue to grow. And we just thank you for what you've already done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we give you praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to try to sing a song tonight. We're not going to be in no hurry. I don't know how this service is going to go. I don't know how this song is going to go. I can't sing a lick. But I do like this song. It's called I Love to Tell the Story.
Oh, yes.
And I do love to tell the story. Everybody don't like to hear it, but I sure do love to tell it. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems.
Yes.
Than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee.
Amen.
I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Same hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. Yes. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless His name.
Our pastor said we sang by the letter, just read about and let her go. That's all I know when it comes to singing. But we want to sing it tonight, good or bad. We just glad to be able to do it. Amen. Yeah. You go ahead, Brother Mark. It's all yours, brother.
Amanda Ring, my sweetheart up in Indiana, she just came on here. She just like, I'm watching.
Hey, mate.
She's a sweetheart. That's the one I was telling you about, was fighting cancer so bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was good Vanessa being here last Sunday.
Yes, it was.
Hallelujah. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, glory to God.
Alright, well, I've been mentioning but I want to do some studying on the King James Bible.
Yes. Amen.
I tell you, it's an amazing book.
Amen.
And it's just I said Sunday, I guess it was, it's still the number one best-selling book in the world. As far as I know, it is. I still believe it is.
Amen. I believe it.
It has been given to us as instructions.
Yeah.
From Genesis to Revelation.
It's sure enough, our
instruction manual. And teach us how to live right and how to avoid wrong and how to seek the Lord and let the Lord do work in us.
Amen.
It's good to learn. So, and I tell you, it's just a lot of things to cover when you study in the King James Bible. As I've been praying about kind of how to approach it, how to start on it, I said some of it's going to be scriptural, as it'll be tonight. Some of it'll be historical, as we look back in how we got it, how it come to be in our possession, what it took to get it in our possession. It was no light miracle, if you please. It's just a
modern day miracle.
It's one of the best things ever given to us.
Amen.
Without any doubt.
Yeah.
So tonight I want to start, and we'll just get started, I guess, for my introduction scripture, going to be Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12.
Amen.
Now, as I've been studying and learning about the King James Bible itself, it seems like the Bible that all the modern versions attack is the King James.
You're
they
right.
Never attack each other.
You're right.
They always just attack the King James.
Yes, you're right.
And they all like to say, well, they're the same. Well, no they're not.
No.
Amen.
You know, I ain't the smartest person on the planet, but I know if something's different, it can't be the same. Amen. And so they all want to attack the King James. They never attack each other. And people, oh, you get all kinds of, well, you know, it's old and it's ancient. Well, it is and it is, and amen, I'm glad it is. But it's new every morning.
Oh, yeah.
What the Bible said in the book of Lamentations.
Yeah.
It never gets old. You just never can outwear it. But anyway, In Hebrews 4:12, very familiar scripture, the Bible said, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Boy, that's a powerful scripture.
Amen.
My goodness. But I want to start tonight on and as the Lord lead, however we get to this, tonight on why we should use the King James Bible.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people say, well, that's a choice. Well, yes, but it's more than a choice for me. It is a conviction. I use it by choice. Yes, I do. But I use it by conviction.
I will say that.
Amen.
And the conviction is that it is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, brother.
Now, I will be repeating this statement on several times just to make sure we get it and understand it. And we always need to be sure we get this clear.
Yeah.
God only inspired one Bible.
That's right.
It inspired two, and inspired ten, and inspired one.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so we'll keep that statement in before us as we go through this. God only inspired one Bible. And so as we start looking at this on why we should use the King James Bible. And so I'm going to look at a few things tonight that the Lord just kind of laid on my heart, and as I learned through studying and getting some things down in my head. Number one, we should use it because of the need of consistency.
Amen.
Now, the King James is consistent.
Yes, it is.
It don't change.
You're right.
Like the modern versions, they change. They may not read this. The one that came out a year ago may not be the same one that will come out tomorrow because they change. But basically, since 1611, when the King James was finished in its translating, it has remained the same.
Amen.
It is consistent. Didn't he tell him in the book of Malachi, he said, "I am the Lord, I change not."
Right.
And if he's the Lord and he changes not, then his word is not going to change.
Amen.
It's going to be the same today as it was tomorrow, and the same and same and same. So we need to use the King James.
Yes.
Because of consistency.
True.
Now look in Psalm 119 verse 89. Very familiar scripture. And it starts out Lamed. This is one of those Hebrew words, those divisions where the Psalm broke down 22 divisions of the 22 Hebrew letters. It said forever. It don't say for a minute. It said forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know what that is? It's consistent.
That's right.
Now it may not be settled in a lot of churches. It's not settled in a lot of lives of Christians, but it's settled in heaven.
Amen.
It don't change.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's one of the reasons why we should use it. It's consistent.
Yes.
And it stays consistent. Now, we need things to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, so that Christians can be grounded.
Right.
If something's going to change and change and change, it's going to be hard to be grounded.
Amen, Brother Mark.
I mean, how are you going to be grounded and settled if something is changing and changing and changing? Right. How are you going to be grounded?
Right.
You've got to have something that's consistent to be grounded. Now, the Bible said in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 23, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, if you're grounded, you're going to be settled.
Right.
And you ain't going to be settled until you get grounded.
Right.
Now, to be grounded means that you're going to be planted somewhere that you believe a certain set of things.
Amen.
Now, what that is for God's people is we believe the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Do we believe it? Now, you know, I dare say, and I hate to make this statement, but I probably believe it's going to be true. There are a lot of so-called Christians
right.
that use the King James Bible, but do they really believe it?
Amen, Brother Mark. That's a good point.
You know, it's one thing to use it, and I use
right.
it, but do you believe it?
Right.
Amen.
And when you say believe it, what do you believe? I mean, believe the King James Bible, because if you don't believe it, how are you going to be grounded?
That's right. Amen.
You know, to be grounded, you gotta know some things.
It's true.
Now, you don't got to be the biggest theologian in the world to be right. saved. You know, only kind of people God ever saves is sinners.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, A.W. Tozer made the statement, I believe it was A.W. Tozer made the statement, that God came to make worshipers out of rebels.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's true.
He makes worshipers out of rebels.
Yeah.
And how does he do that? Through salvation.
Opens your eyes.
So, what do we believe? Do we believe that salvation is all of God or some of man? Or all of man and none of God? I believe it's all of God without the help of man.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And you know, regardless of whether I got saved, or Brother Eddie got saved, or Brother Eddie got saved, or Ronnie got saved, God's still the same God.
Amen.
He paid the price for salvation when he gave his son. Do we believe it? From beginning to end.
Yeah.
Like the old black preacher said one time, said, I believe it from kibber to kibber, and I didn't believe the kibber because it says genuine.
Amen. Amen.
So that's good.
Yeah.
But it is a sad thing, and I believe it. I believe that a lot of people use the King James Bible, but do they really believe it?
Yeah.
And I don't get too far without that Bible.
Not going to get far at all.
In my word, John 8:31,
yeah.
You'll know the truth. And we know no lies are the truth.
Yeah.
And Jesus talked about the words he speak. He said they're spirit and they're truth.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the certainty of the word, I just read that this morning in my devotions, in Proverbs, if you don't have the certainty of the word, then you're certain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead, brother.
Let me finish reading what I was reading in Colossians while Brother Eddie's looking for what he's looking. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So, one of the things we are grounded about is the hope of the gospel.
Yeah.
And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's plain in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we've got to be settled about that point, about the gospel, and that gospel gives us hope.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not convinced that the Bible is everything it is and believe it is everything God said it is,
Amen.
We're not going to be grounded.
Amen to that.
And we're not going to be consistent.
No, that's true.
I read this morning, Brother Mark, in my devotion this morning, and it's in Proverbs 22, verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. Mm-hmm. And I read that and I realized God put something in there really just for my benefit, the certainty of the word, just like what you're talking about tonight. If you don't have certainty, you're certain you have nothing to stand on. And we know that the foundation of God stands sure.
And
we know God gave us something to stand on. Paul said, stand having done all, stand there with in Ephesians chapter 6. But he also said in Ephesians chapter number 4, till we all come into the unity of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you got a bunch of them out there tossed to and fro with every one of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not speaking the same thing, and they're not going in the same direction. But God wants us to speak the same thing and believe the same thing and go in the same direction. But you're right, there's a lot of confusion down here. That's why we got gender confusion. That's why we got same-sex marriages. That's why we got confusion in the churches ordaining lesbians and gays. And look, I love them. I do. They come in here, I'll hug them. But they go hear the Word of God. I'm not going to compromise the preaching They're going to be like me. They're going to line up with her. It's going to line them up, one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now, the first temptation that the devil tempted Christ with was, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Mm-hmm.
That if thou.
Now, you got to remember, Jesus had done fasted
40 days.
And he was hungry.
Yeah. Afterwards, he was hungry. And
so he tempted him with his hunger. But Jesus said in verse 4, chapter 4 of Matthew, that he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what is that for us? The King James Bible.
Amen.
That is the word of God.
Amen.
We don't live, yes, we have to have bread to eat for our body, physical food. We got to have food, God knows that. But our spiritual food is far more important than our physical food.
That's right.
It is.
And so we have to have that assurance and believing without any doubt. So there'll be consistency so we can be grounded.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Now another thing we need to be consistent, why we need consistency is so that sound doctrine can be taught.
Amen.
You can't teach sound doctrine if you can't believe something that's going to change.
True.
Yeah.
Sound doctrine has to be sound before it can be sound doctrine.
That's good.
So listen to what it said in Titus 2:1. But speak down the things which become sound doctrine. What do you speak? This right here.
That's right.
Now, I don't understand it all. Absolutely, positively don't. But when you start growing, you start learning, and you start understanding sound doctrine. Sound, the word sound is another word for sound is healthy.
That's right.
You know, good doctrine's good for you.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Sound doctrine is healthy.
Amen. You ain't kidding.
It'll help your soul. It's
sure
healthy.
It will.
I remember when I was pastoring in Illinois, Lord, I bumped up against a whole lot of junk. Somebody told me one time, well, you need to... Well, one of the young men that was in my church, David Yule, he worked at a plant over in Marion, Illinois, Maytag plant over there where he worked. He come in one Sunday morning and talking to me before church. He said, Brother Mark, said, one of my co-workers told me, said, I need to forget all the stuff my mom and dad ever taught me about the Bible and quit believing that false doctrine and start believing something that's real. And I said, what did they base that on? He said, he didn't tell me. I said, you know why he didn't tell you? Because he ain't got nothing to base it on. I said, you need to believe sound doctrine.
Yeah.
And you need to say, look, if you're going to tell me I need to believe something that I've been told not to believe, you're going to have to show me that what you want me to believe can overtake what I've been believing.
Right. That's right.
So, a lot of people, again, we're going to go back, they carry the King James Bible, but do they believe it?
Amen.
That's a big, big question mark right there.
Yeah.
Now, Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, he said, talking about the latter days, that they would not endure sound doctrine.
Right, left their own life.
People don't want to hear the truth.
That's
just all there is to it. I mean, you can just sugarcoat whatever you want. They would rather believe a lie than believe truth.
Yeah.
So, for us to use the King James Bible, we need to use it for consistency.
Yeah.
To be grounded and settled in what we believe and why we believe it, but be grounded and settled in the things we believe, which is doctrine.
Yeah.
Now, doctrine is teaching or a set of or laws, things to teach. Right. Now, people say, well, we're not under the law. Well, we're not saved by the law, but we still learn the laws. We're under laws in America.
Paul said he's not no sin but by the law.
I agree. We're not saved by the law, but there's still a lot of laws that are still good for us. Thou shalt not steal. That's a good law.
That's right.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Right.
That's still a good law. Some of those laws. So to say that the laws are not valid is not true. So there are laws that are still good because we need law. They're a schoolmaster. They teach us.
True. Right.
Things.
Right. Yeah.
So we should use the King James Bible for consistency.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to use something that's going to be changing, how are you going to be consistent?
True.
You know, I don't know from one day to the next what America's going to be doing. I mean, you hear one thing about this, you hear one thing about that, and all this junk. They've been talking about the heat wave and everything that's going on, and it never fails. Somebody, I knew it was going to come up somewhere.
Global warming.
It's going to come up, global warming, global warming. let me give you my take on global warming. I wouldn't worry about it, because ever since I've been born, it's always been hot in the summer.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be concerned about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to a lady today. I had to go to Glasgow, and we were talking about the weather being hot. And I said, well, it is summer. You know, it's going to be hot in the summer. So we need it. We should use it because of consistency.
Amen.
It's consistent, and we need to believe it and let it go like that. Now, another thing we need to do, we need to use the King James Bible so that we will know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Amen.
It's true.
Yes.
Now, you can look at this scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Mm. Now, there is a spirit of truth, and there is a spirit of error.
Truth.
Yes.
I think David said it in the book of Psalms. I think maybe chapter 51, that great chapter, repentance chapter. He talked about a renewing of right spirit. If you can have a right spirit, there's got to be a wrong spirit.
Psalm 51, yeah.
So listen to what it said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we know it? The word of God.
Amen.
Now, if you same chapter, if you back up to verses 1 through 3, tells us here's how we know it. Here's how we know the spirit of truth over the spirit of error, and that is trying the spirits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. You'd be surprised what people believe that the Bible says that the Bible don't say.
You're right.
Right.
I've heard people come up with some of the stupidest stuff.
Yeah, Bible says
that the Bible don't ever have nothing to say on that. You try the spirits by the word of God. Because many false prophets are gone out in the world, boy. I tell you what, we got that in America. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Here's how we know the Spirit of God is real. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Did he come in the flesh?
Yes.
Sure he did. He was born of a virgin. He came in the flesh. He lived in the flesh. But he was more than just a fleshly man.
True.
Right.
But we believe that. And if you don't believe that, is what it said, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God.
Amen.
And this is that spirit of Antichrist. It didn't say it was an Antichrist. He was he said the spirit of Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And we got that going on in America today, the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes, Lord.
They're anti-God, they're anti-Christ, they're anti-Bible, they're anti-church, they're anti-this, they're anti-that, and everything else. And so we should use the King James Bible to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Amen.
And you get...
Go ahead, brother.
Go.
You mentioned about that spirit of Antichrist. They've done got everything set up. Just as soon as we're gone, they're ready to take over.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the way. We're the only thing keeping them from taking over. Light, dispel darkness. But anyway, when we are taken out, they've done got everything in place.
Yep.
I mean, I've never seen such light in all my life. And, you know, stuff we see going on today, it like you said, it gives more confidence, more conclusion to the fact the Word of God's real. God declared the end from the beginning, Psalm 46:10, and He said His counsel would stand. And it's just exactly like He said it would be.
Yeah.
He said it'd be like the days of Noah, before He came back, violence. Yeah. Be like the days of Lot, sexual immorality. And we're there.
Yeah,
we're there.
Good listening.
Right now. So we should use the King James Bible to know the Spirit of truth over the spirit of error. And you know, I'll go back again, a lot of people may pack the King James Bible, but you'd be Well, maybe you wouldn't. You'd be surprised at the people that don't know the truth from the lie.
Yeah,
that's
the
thing
true.
Is, though, brother, you can have this Bible, but there's a scripture in there that says, study to show thyself approved.
That's right. That's what
it says. Abiding the word. If you never open this Bible, you're not going to know.
You're not going to know.
Between the spirit of truth and that lie that's going around.
Yeah.
I mean, right. You got to read. You got to study.
That's what right. You got to do.
2 Timothy 2:15.
Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:15, ain't it?
Yeah.
I knew it was in the New Testament, but I wouldn't ever quote where it was at.
Heard the preacher say years ago, you cannot always believe what a preacher will tell you about the Bible, but you can always believe what the Bible will tell you about a preacher.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
goodness. Isn't that true? And I understand what he means by that, because not every preacher opens the Bible and is going to tell you what the truth of the Bible. So this goes back to where Bonnie talking about study. Show thyself approved. How do you, what we study, not to show approved to man.
No.
I believe we should study to try to help people and be as knowledgeable in the Word of God as we can. Mm-hmm. But we study to please God.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we please God, he takes care of the rest.
That's right.
So, and if you don't study, then you're not going to know the difference between the true and the false. And especially when you're getting into different versions. You get NIVs and all this other stuff. When you get people that are not grounded in the King James Bible, you're going to start having problems. All right? So now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. We need it. We should use it because of consistency. We should use it to know the difference, the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. We need to use it for that. Number three, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10.
Good verse.
Now I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Now, ain't that what that says?
Yeah.
There be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We should use the King James Bible to keep unity in the church.
Amen.
Now, whenever the book of Proverbs talks a lot about pride.
Yes.
And one of the things that causes contention is pride.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
And one of the things that causes pride is division.
Right.
When you don't have unity in the church, you're going to have problems.
That's right.
Now, it's going to be hard. Now, that's what it said, that you all speak the same thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to be hard to speak the same thing if we ain't all reading the same thing.
Amen.
That's right.
And it's going to be hard to believe the same things.
That's right.
If we're not all hearing the same thing.
Right, right, right.
Now, see, if you're using the King James Bible, we're going to be using the same thing. We're going to be hearing the same thing so we can be believing the same thing.
Amen.
And will that live? Keep unity.
It's true. It's true, Brother Mark.
And so the next one just kind of goes along with it, but this one is also another reason to use the King James Bible. Look in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. To keep unity in the church.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And look in 1 Corinthians 14, 33.
Yeah.
For God is not the author of what? Confusion.
Yes.
But of peace, as in all churches of the saints. If you got a church and you got people using different Bibles, you know what you're going to have?
Confusion.
Confusion.
That's right.
And God is not the author of confusion.
That's right.
So if you're using the King James Bible, it's going to keep them confusion.
That's right.
Is that true?
Amen.
I mean, when you got people, and I know people get confused. I'm not, yes, we do. But the King James Bible can straighten out confusion. But you got to have it, and people's got to be reading it. People's got to be believing it. People's got to be learning it. People's got to be understanding it.
Amen.
So we should use the King James Bible to keep unity and to keep confusion
Amen.
Down. And if you don't, you're going to have problems. you're going to have problems. I told you, I said, first church I pastored, when I went in there, man, they was believing a little of everything, and people using different Bibles, right. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, what a mess. I don't know how in the world they got off kilter, other than the pastor or the more pastors they had wasn't teaching them right or
right.
Whatever. And I just told them, I said, look, y'all going to read with me, you're going to have to get you a King James Bible, because that's all I'm going to be using.
Amen.
And, some of them didn't like it, but amen, I wasn't there for the likes.
Right.
Please
God, you can't.
We have to keep unity.
Right.
And we have to keep down confusion, and you're going to have a problem with that.
That's right.
If you got some using the King James and some using something else.
That's right, absolutely.
You know, I don't know that we've got one here, but in our bylaws that we when we was starting, getting ready to start this church and work as a mission, in our constitution and bylaws, it states that the only Bible that we're to use in this church is the King James.
Amen.
It sure does.
It's in them. I mean, I ain't making it up. You can read it and look at it.
Yes, that's right. I got them at home.
So, and that is not a boastful or prideful thing. So, well, again, that's your choice. Yes, it is my choice, but it's a conviction to keep people believing the same thing.
Same thing, that's right.
And you'll do a whole lot better if you read the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just the way it is.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the last one we'll look at tonight. We should use the King James Bible. Now look, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Now the Bible, the book of Revelation, is pretty stern on adding and taking away the Word of God.
Yes.
And that's quoted again, I think, out of the book of Deuteronomy, I believe. And it talks about, you know, how God takes serious business when you go tampering in His book.
Right.
And I say it again, and I want you to keep it in mind. God only inspired one Bible.
Right.
Not two, not ten, but one. And we'll see as we get into this study that the one He inspired is the King James.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to what it said in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We should use the King James Bible to keep and promote the old paths to the next generation.
Amen.
Right.
See, God has entrusted us with His Word. And it's our responsibility to keep it as it was given to us.
Amen.
He said in Psalms 11 verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Right.
You know what's happening in this country? Foundations are being destroyed.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
You know, they're being destroyed. The foundation of the home is being destroyed. One man, one woman, husband and wife makes a house.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no such thing as a man and a man and a woman and a woman.
Amen.
God never intended for it to be such. And God never intended for the home to be like that. The foundation of the home is falling under us. The foundation of the church is falling in from under us. Everybody's wanting to go modern, and everybody's wanting to get into the modern everything, do this and do that and do that. What about the old paths?
Mm-hmm.
It said it was a good way. It didn't say it was an easy way. It didn't say it was a popular way, but it's a good way.
Yeah.
And we're to walk in it, and we'll find rest for our souls. And it's our responsibility to keep this so that we can get it to the next generation, just the way it was given to us.
Yeah.
So if the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous going to do?
That's right.
Amen.
And what's happening? The foundation of the King James Bible, they're trying to destroy it.
Yes, they are.
But they ain't never going to do it. But when everything's said and done, all the other junk's going to be gone.
Amen.
But God's Word's still going to be real.
Right.
Amen.
So why not just stick with the thing that's true blue to begin with?
Yeah.
See, I don't understand.
He turned down the arm of Saul, he said, I ain't proved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I'm glad this thing's been tested.
Been
tried. It's been proved. It's been proved over and over and over again.
Over and over.
Jesus. Go ahead, brother.
No, I just Bob over on here that said God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and
That's
Eve.
True.
Yeah.
Jesus rebuked them in Matthew 15. And he said, you've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He said, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their hearts far from me.
Yeah.
But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And you get away from that King James Bible, you're on sinking sand. Paul mentioned in Galatians chapter 4, verse 30, nevertheless, he said, what saith the Scripture? If I don't have Scripture, then I don't have anything to base anything on. And you know, if God didn't give me my word, I couldn't be rightly judged. But He gave His word. And He said there's another going to judge us in the last day. He said the words that I speak, they'll judge me in the last day.
Yes, that's right.
I'm glad I got the word of God. What I'm trying to say is, thank God for it. I'm going to tell you, He didn't line up with it, it'll line you up either one.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to be judged by it.
That's right.
Because this is truth.
True. Right.
Truth never changes.
1770, and that word is truth.
Right. This is God's instructions for us.
Amen.
To live by them. Learn them.
Yeah.
And I mean, It ought to be something as sweet as honey to us.
Oh yeah,
the King James Bible is a precious thing to me, and I mean it's just one of the greatest things that's been ever been given to us.
Amen.
And so we should use it.
Yeah.
To keep unity, to keep down confusion.
Right.
To know the spirit of truth and error. And to keep consistency among God's people.
Amen.
When you get people that's wishy-washy. A lot of it's because they're not consistent with the King James Bible.
Amen.
Churches are wishy-washy because they don't consistency with the King James Bible. But you get the King James Bible as your primary book, and yes, you're going to have troubles coming on. Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Talk about building his church. Yeah. He didn't say they wouldn't come against it. He said they wouldn't prevail against it. So there's a big difference right there. So I believe that as Christians, we should use the King James Bible.
Amen.
Plain
Amen.
Example. God only inspired one book. And we'll see as we get in this study. That's the King James Bible.
Amen. Mark, I'd like to say this about the King James Bible. I think everybody is kind of looking for maybe a shortcut, a way around. I mean, reading the King James Bible is a great undertaking, and it's not like anybody can just pick it up and run with it. God has to help us, and through humility and asking God for help, the King James Bible, I'm 68 years old, probably the greatest miracle that I've ever held in my hands. Your scripture tonight, the Word of God is quick. It is alive, and it is powerful, and it is quick. And sharper than two-edged sword. I've seen, you can read there in Acts chapter 7 where Stephen was preaching that they were cut to the heart. It's sharper than two-edged sword. It don't return void. It still gets the job done.
That's what it does.
Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Not a word, the word.
What he said.
And we need to continue that. Thank God for the King James Bible. But I believe one reason people get other versions of the Bible, they're trying to find an easy way rather than God's way, just say, Lord, this is your word. I need help. They'll look to the resources of man to try to benefit from the things of God. God gave this word, Psalm 68:11. Great was the company of those that published it. Thank God I've got one of them. Amen.
Yep, that's right.
Great. And like I said, people trying to find a way around this book, Bible said you fall on this book, you'll live. It falls on you to grind you to powder.
Yep.
Brother Mark, before you close your Bible up, remember what we was discussing before you started teaching our, I told you my brother did research on
Cain and Abel.
Could you open your Bible back up and read to him exactly what the King James Version about? Now, he did research on, and these theologians, some say yes, they were. Some say no, they weren't. Mm-hmm. Bob, you are still out here, right? I mean, I've seen you off and on here all night, but I know you're still out.
Of course, what my brother Ed was making reference to was Cain and Abel being twins.
They weren't twins. Cain was born first.
Of course, some people say, well, you know, again, gets into where you get, well, some theologians say yay, some nay. Well, I believe the greatest theologian ever was, and that's God.
Amen.
So, here's what he said. Now, this is Genesis chapter 4. Now, Adam and Eve was disobeyed God, and here we come into Genesis chapter 4. Look at verses 1 and 2. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. There's the word conceived one time. And bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And now, verse 2, and she bare again.
Wait a minute. And again.
But she only conceived
she
once.
She again bare his brother, yeah.
She conceived one time.
Right.
But she bare twice. And she bare his brother Abel.
Right.
And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. So
that does make them twins.
No.
Huh?
Listen, she conceived and bare Cain. That's one incident.
But she conceived
only
once.
But she only conceived once.
Yeah.
She bare two kids, but she only conceived one time. She only slept with him one time.
No.
Yeah, that's what the Bible just said.
Yeah.
She conceived for Cain, and again, she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. I don't see it that way, no way, no how. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. They were brothers. There's no significance to it. But I believe Cain was older than Abel.
Yeah.
Because she again, and even though it doesn't say conceived, but and she again bare his brother Abel. And you could put the word conceived there, but I think that is talking about another conception. And Cain was older. Let me see what I can find on this right here. Well, I mean, what you're doing is you're speculating. I don't like speculating.
Well,
I really don't.
Well, all I can say is she conceived one time, and then she bare, and then she bare again.
Well, it mentions twins with Jacob, but it don't mention twins here.
Well,
Rachel went and said, well, am I thus? He said, twins are in your room, and the elder served the younger, two nations. But this time it says she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a killer of the ground. I do believe there's two distinctions of birth there.
Well, I believe there's two distinctions of birth. I believe Cain was born first, and then Abel was born second.
Now, I don't really see any significance if you wanted to make it any other way, but I wouldn't strain that net, swallow that camel for nothing.
Well, it won't affect my salvation, but I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to find out.
There you go.
I mean, it could be. There's no significance to it either way.
That's what Bob said last night. He said, you know what? If they were twins, good. If they weren't, it's still good.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven, we're going to know if they were.
It doesn't mention they were twins, but like you said, there's no significance.
The only way I know how to put it, brother, when I was put that question before, I informed you, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
I was put that question to me before, it was Cain and Abel twins. And I said, well, I don't know. I'll do some checking and I'll do some research. And I come across Genesis chapter 4 and I started reading. I started studying. And I asked the Lord, I need to know, was Cain and Abel twins? And the Holy Spirit said yes. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, okay.
Amen.
Then.
I think it gives a genealogy of Adam. It may break it down. I don't know. Let me...
Anyway,
we'll be in heaven
saved. Oh, yeah. Like I said, it ain't like it's going to be a Greek.